This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
This morning, I want to share around a portion of scripture. I've been spending some time, my quiet time around, and also in preparation for Encounter 5, we also spend some time in this portion of Scripture. And it says many different things, and in the middle of that, the children can go to Children's Church. Thank you for their patience. There you go. Yes, my frozen. This portion of Scripture says many things, but in the middle of it, as they're trying to get it up, in the middle of it, it actually speaks, it speaks of peace. And there's a lot one can say about peace, the definition of it, what it means in Hebrew, shalom, and the meaning of it. This morning, I want to share something in the context of this portion of Scripture. What is peace? And maybe also in the context of what I've been sharing in the past concerning trials and tribulations and suffering and the storms that we face. What is this peace of God that surpasses all understanding? The portion of Scripture I was reading is Luke chapter 10. Has some application also for the team that is going. Luke chapter 10, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest that he may send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I'm sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag or knapsack or sandal and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, say first, 'Peace to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborers deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town shall cling to our feet and wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more tolerable on that day for Sodom than for that town." Now, it's quite a lot that is said here in Luke chapter 10. Jesus really sending out the 72 and preparing them and giving them some powerful insight, instructions, and practicalities how to go about sharing the gospel. It relates to the Great Commission and the harvest. We see that. It speaks of the authority in which we go. It gives insight into the context into which we go, sheep amongst wolves. And it also points to the practicalities in methodology of how to go, you know, two by two, where to stay, what to eat. But right in the middle of all this, there's this one portion of Scripture that really stood out for me, is this command of Jesus that when you enter into the house, you must greet them in the following way. You must say the following things. Peace be in this house. Here in Luke chapter 10 from verse 5, whatever house you enter, first say, "Peace be to this house." And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. It's very interesting. But if not, it will return to you. This really stood out for me, and I was just really speaking to the Lord about this. And it's interesting that Jesus instructs his disciples whenever they enter into a house, they need to speak a blessing peace be with this house. And what is so interesting about this blessing is, if dependent on how the people receive them, will determine whether this blessing of peace will remain there. If they do not receive them, if they do not respond to them, this blessing of peace will return to them. So this is not just a greeting. This is not just shalom for the sake of greeting. This is an impartation of something that will either remain or return. So it's far more than just a saying. You know, sometimes we pray for our food the way our fathers used to pray for their food, and their fathers used to pray for their food. Lord, what we are about to receive, may you make us truly thankful. Amen. And we get to say it so quick. Lord, may the Lord may make truly thankful. Amen. And then we get to say it so quickly that sometimes we simply say it because that's what we say before we eat, without even thinking about what we're saying. And it becomes almost a tradition to pray a specific rhyme before we eat without thinking about what we're praying, without any meaning or faith in what we say. That same prayer, may the Lord make us truly thankful for what we're about to receive, can be so powerful if we put our faith in behind the words we say. And it becomes something significant and powerful. And so too here, God instructs us to speak a blessing, not for the sake of the words we speak, but for what it means and represents. And so interesting here is that this is not just a greeting, because it's something that will either remain or return based on the response of those who hear these words. It is a proclamation of something from Christ who sent them. Jesus sends them out and he says, this is what I want you to say when you enter their homes. This is what I want you to impart to them. It is an impartation of something that they themselves have received. And what is so interesting, depending on how people receive them, will determine whether that blessing will remain. It reminds me of another scripture. I don't have the slide here. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, Jesus says, he who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives the one who sends me. He later on says that those who reject you reject me. And so Jesus is speaking of something powerful here. It says that what you represent is not just a blessing, it is a person. You represent me. It continues to say there, he who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So there's something powerful that Jesus is speaking about, the authority and the reality of who we represent. But also the significance, of course, of him being in us. And here Jesus speaks in a similar way concerning peace. What is this peace that Jesus speaks about? After Jesus' resurrection, he appears to his disciples the first time. And it's interesting, the very first words that Jesus speaks to them. We find here in John 20, verse 19, on that evening of that day, the first day of the week, the Sunday, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said that, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Again, on the second time, Jesus appeared to them 8 days later in John 20, verse 26, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in the midst among them and said, "Peace be to you. Peace be with you." It's very interesting. Then Thomas said, or he said to Thomas, you know, Thomas didn't believe. And he said, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands and put your hand in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." It's interesting that Jesus greets his disciples every time with this very same thing that he instructed us to greet or to say. It's not even greeting, but saying. Really what he was referring to, there's something that I want you to impart, something that is powerful, something that is a blessing. Jesus speaks about this peace here in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And yet it speaks of something that he gives, that Jesus gives, that is different to what the world gives. And the result of that peace would be that your heart will not be troubled and you will not be afraid. And so immediately the question that arises is, what is the difference between the peace that Jesus gives and the peace that the world gives? Because Jesus says, "I want to impart into you peace." And this peace is not the peace of the world. This is completely different to the world's peace. This is something that I give to you, something that only I can give to you, and you will not find it in the world. You will only find it from me. So what is this peace? The world's peace is very interesting. We hear a lot about it on news and the pursuit of peace and peace talks and all the peace that is going on and the searching of man for peace. The world's peace is based on circumstances. You have peace when there are certain circumstances that are peaceful. So based on your circumstances, you either have peace or you don't have peace. That's the world's kind of peace. Jesus says, "My peace is different. My peace, as a matter of fact, transcends circumstances. My peace is actually in the midst of circumstances. In the midst of a storm, you can have peace. The world will see a storm and seek peace, but you will have peace in the midst of the storm and know it," which is completely different. John 14, verse 27, in the Amplified, it puts it so beautifully, "Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be afraid. Let my perfect peace calm you in every circumstances and give you courage and strength for any challenge." How powerful is that? You see, the world's peace is dependent on circumstances, but God's peace is despite of the circumstances. It makes it far more powerful. So if God's peace is not based on circumstances, what is it based on? In 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 16 we read, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with you all." Now that is so powerful. You see, God's peace is not in the circumstances. It is in his presence. It is in his person. That's where we find his peace. It is not a circumstance. It is a person. The Amplified puts it beautifully. It says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself grant you his peace at all times and in every way. That peace and spiritual well-being that comes from those who walk with him, regardless of life circumstances. The Lord be with you all." And this is the powerful thing of the peace that God speaks about. It's not a circumstantial peace. It's a personal peace. It is a person with us that brings us peace. It is not dependent on the circumstances, rather it is dependent on his presence. And the challenge for us is, you know, as Christians, we don't look to the seen but to the unseen. Our relationship with God is based on faith that leads us to a person who is more real than the circumstances that we face. It links up with my sermon on suffering a few weeks ago, how we endure and overcome suffering. It really starts with our understanding and faith that God is greater than our circumstances. God is greater than our suffering. God is greater in the sense that there's nothing that I can lose that is of more value than who He is, and our relationship with Him is the most important thing that there is. But also the fact that no matter what circumstances we face, He's also greater than that, that He can change it for our good. And if you have faith in a God like that, you will have peace. And so many times I find people who have faith in whom they call God, but their description and their expectation of Him is not the God of the Bible. And therefore they do not have peace. But if you truly believe and know a God that is eternal, powerful, all-knowing, and nothing is impossible for Him, if you have a relationship with Him and know how much He loves you, you will have peace in the midst of your circumstances. So His presence is not based on our experience, but our faith in Him. And I think this is another powerful aspect of this peace. This peace is not based on experience, it's based on faith. And I found many Christians today, they run after the experience of something rather than a person of someone. And so we base our faith and our expression based on our experience and not based on our faith. This faith in Him leads to peace, which is an experience. But it's not first an experience. It's first a faith that leads to a relationship, that leads to peace, which is an experience. So peace is not void of experience, but it doesn't start with experience. It actually starts with faith. That's why, I don't have it there on the back, that's why Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So in faith, I approach God. And because I believe in Him and because of His character and my faith and trust in His character, I have access to Him, I experience Him, and the knowledge of Him brings me peace, which leads to an experience of being calm in the midst of a storm. Because my faith and my peace is not dependent on my emotional experience. When I stand in the storm like that man that stands at the light tower, what he has is not necessarily a feeling of peace, but the knowing that the building that he stands in cannot be moved by this wave. So he's very casually standing there, not because of the emotional experience, but because of a logical faith in the building in which he stands. So he has absolute faith. And that is what this faith in God brings. Because of our faith in who God is, in His character, in nature, and our experience of His faithfulness, we have peace. Not an experience of emotion. That's why Philippians 4 says it so powerfully. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You see, that in Christ Jesus is that that light tower that man stands upon in that ocean. He's not afraid because he's in the tower. He's not afraid because he's in Christ. It speaks of three concepts here. It speaks about the fact that we need to speak to God in the midst. How do we get this peace? How do we get this? In the midst of our circumstances, we speak to God through prayer and petition, making our requests known. Well, that requires faith. You have to believe when you pray. And so in faith, we approach God who we know loves us, who we know is present, who we know is all-powerful, and we make our requests known to Him. We make our circumstances known to Him. But we do it with thanksgiving, which is such a powerful concept in the midst of a storm, in the midst of trials and tribulation, with thanksgiving, because by putting our requests with thanksgiving, it means we put our requests in the context of who He is. That's what thanksgiving is. Father, I thank You that in the midst of my storm, I can come to You. God, I want to thank You that You've been faithful throughout my life. And every single storm that I've been through, You have been there. And therefore, Father, I can come to You with joy in my heart and present this current storm to You, knowing that You are greater than the storm that I face. You see what thanksgiving does? It puts my circumstances in the context of who God is. And because of that, I approach God with thanksgiving. And all of a sudden, thanksgiving is not just saying thank You. It is actually exalting God's faithfulness. And it speaks to my own soul, because all of a sudden, I put my circumstances in the context of who God is. And so often we come to God and we say, Lord, do You not care that we're about to drown? And Jesus says, why have you no faith? Instead of saying, God, I want to thank You that I've been through 5 storms. I've been hungry and You fed me. And You've always been here. You're a great God. Lord, I want to thank You for Your faithfulness. Lord, there's another storm. Will You help me? But all of a sudden, my faith is not based on the circumstances. My faith is based on His character. And then comes to the third concept. The speaking and thanksgiving, this faith in God, leads to peace. This peace of God that surpasses, transcends all understanding, it does something powerful. It does something powerful to my reason and my fears, my emotions, to my mind and my heart. It does something to my mind, it does something to my heart, it does something to my reason, it does something to my emotions. This peace of God, as I approach Him in faith and I thank Him for His faithfulness, His peace come into my life and it does something to my mind, it does something to my emotion. It guards it, it protects it. It protects it from what? From the lies of the devil that says that you will die. You will fail. It guards me, because all of a sudden I put God before me. And it guards my emotion where I'm meant to be afraid and stressful. I can be full of joy and at peace, because something has happened. Something has been imparted to me. In faith, I have approached God with thanksgiving, and He has imparted something to me that those around me cannot understand. Those around you, when they see you in the midst of your storm and the peace within you, they cannot understand it, because they've never seen it anywhere in the world, because it cannot be found in the world. It can only be found in Christ Jesus. And so as we put faith in Him, His peace comes in, and that peace becomes an experience. But it's only found in Him. It continues, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. In the midst of our storm and our trials and our tribulation, as we seek God first and we put our faith in Him, and we thank Him for His faithfulness and His peace come, the Lord said that we must continue to think on that what is good, that what we hope for. Instead of putting our thoughts on everything that can go wrong, and all the evil that can come from the storm, and all the destruction that we will face, the Lord actually instructs us to actually do the opposite. To actually think and meditate upon the things that God speaks. Don't have it here, but we all know Hebrews 11 verse 1 that says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet unseen. And so the Lord instructs us that we must put our mind, our thoughts, and meditate upon the things that we hope for, not on the things that we dread for. Because faith and fear works exactly the same. They are opposites. Faith is to be certain of the things I hope for, and fear is to be certain of the things that I dread for. So we lay awake at night because we think about all the things that can be possibly go wrong. It's not a reality yet. It's still unseen, but we're so sure of it, we take it and we bring it into our life. And faith is the opposite, to be so certain of the things that we hope for, even though it's still unseen, and make it part of our life. And so you either manifest the fruit of faith or the fruit of fear. So the Word of God instructs us to come to Him, to put faith in God, to exalt God's faithfulness, and then to meditate upon the things that we hope for. And then it says something powerful, verse 9. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. And all of a sudden, it's not just the peace of God, but the God of peace. And this is really something that I want to leave you with. I have found so many people pursue the peace of God more than they pursue the God of peace. And so we're after this experience of peace instead of after the knowing of God. And so I've seen in so many people, and I start to realize why there's so many Christians whose peace seems to come and go like the weather. One day they have peace and the next day it goes. And then it comes back, and then it goes, and then it comes back, and then it goes. And it's such a struggle to help them to see peace when they've lost it and to find it again as if it was lost. And I've struggled over the years to determine how it is possible that some people can have peace and other people's peace seem to elude them all the time. They up and down, because I've realized you've been seeking for an experience of peace, but not the source of peace. Because if you have Jesus with you in the boat, you don't need to be afraid. So don't seek the experience of peace. Seek the God of peace. And here comes another aspect, not only to meditate upon the things that He says, but to do the things that He says. And it's not just in the meditation of the things that He says, but in the doing of the things that He says, that you will not just have the peace of God, but you'll have the God of peace. Because this is something powerful about who God is. Can you truly have the one without the other? Can you truly have the peace of God without the God of peace? Well, if you pursue God, a desire to know Him more, the fullness of who He is, you will know Him and you will know His ways. These things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace, put them into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. It is not just the believing in God that brings us peace. It is the knowing of God that brings us peace. It's not just believing in Him. It is knowing Him that produces peace that endures. And the more I know Him, the more I understand His love for me, the more I want to be like Him, do like Him, follow His commands, because I know who He is. And I've experienced this great love and knowing of Him that I want to imitate Him in everything that I do. And then we read 1 John 2 that speaks about this knowing that leads to doing. By this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in Him. And so we see this beautiful cycle of the more I know Him, the more I understand His love for me, the more I love Him, the more I want to imitate Him. And what I discovered is the more I do this, the more peace I have. The more I pursue Him, the more I realize Him, the more I imitate Him, the more I am changed to become like Him, and the more I experience Him with me. No matter what the circumstances is, His peace is almost guaranteed. Because I'm no longer seeking His peace, I'm seeking His presence. I'm no longer seeking the wind to be stilled or the waves to be still, but I'm seeking Jesus in the boat. And my eyes are no longer on the circumstances, the presence or the absence of peacefulness around me, but I'm seeking the presence of God within me. And the first thing that I do is not to wait and to seek for the waves and the wind to still, but where's Jesus? And it's in finding Him, knowing Him, being with me that gives me peace no matter what happens around me. And with Him, I can face all things, endure all things, and do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's the secret of the God of peace that leads to the peace of God. And therefore, in conclusion, if we truly understand and know this, that it's not the peace of God we pursue, but the God of peace, then you will know and have that peace that surpasses all understanding, no matter what the circumstances may be. And then John 16:33 will make more sense than ever before. And I conclude with this. Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world. You see, that is our peace. It's in Him. He is that tower that the wind and the waves cannot move. And if we go to that last slide, you can go to the next one. That is where we find our peace. Not in the absence of waves, but being in Him. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank You for this morning, that we can come to You as the God of peace. Are You the source of eternal, enduring, lasting peace? And Lord, this morning we come to You and we want to thank You for Your love for us. Lord, we want to thank You that You've already proven to us how much You love us. That You were willing to give everything. Everything that You had. Everything that was valuable. You were willing to give everything to save us. Not when we deserved it or earned it. Or because we were beautiful or because we were intelligent or even because we had potential. No, You loved us while we were still enemies. And You gave everything for us so that we may know how much You love us. And Lord, we want to thank You for that, that we can come to You and we can put our trust, we can put our faith, we can put our hope in You. Because He who promised is faithful. You are faithful. And You have already proven to us Your faithfulness. And so God, I want to thank You this morning, Lord, that we can come to You in the midst of our circumstances. In the midst of the waves, Lord, we can run to You, the tower. Oh, David speaks about this tower to which I run to. To which I run to. Whenever I see circumstances, I run to this place, in this tower, and I am safe. Lord, thank You that You are this tower that we can run to and know that we are safe. And if you're here this morning, and you need this peace You need this peace in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your circumstances. This knowing that everything is going to be all right. It's going to turn for your good. If you need this peace this morning, I'm not going to pray for you for peace. I'm going to pray for you that you will meet the source of peace, which is Jesus Himself. And if that is you this morning, I want to give you an opportunity just to think of your storm and bring it to God. Just with thanksgiving, make your requests known to Him. But start with thanking Him for His love for you, that He has already saved you. God has already saved you. 2,000 years ago, He saved you from your biggest storm, your biggest trial, your biggest tribulation, the sin and the guilt of your life. Your biggest storm, your biggest trial, your greatest fear, your greatest cause of stress was hell itself. And God has already saved you from that. Whatever you're going through now is nothing compared to what hell is like, and God has already saved you from that. Will He not save you of all the rest? God has given you everything. So this morning, I want to give you an opportunity, each one of us, just to come to God and to thank Him again for what He's already saved us from through the blood of His Son, and that we have hope and we are secure in our destination. Therefore, we will not fear the journey on the way there, because the same God that saved us for eternity is the same God that will lead us through this temporal time here. Oh Lord, I want to thank You for that, and I want to give each and every person just an opportunity just to thank You. And if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus in such a way, you've never surrendered your life, or maybe you've turned away from Him, but this morning God is calling you back to Him so that you may have peace. Peace of knowing where you're going. Peace of knowing no matter what happens, He will be with you and He will turn it for your good. And if that is you this morning and you want to respond to Him, just raise your hand. Just say, God, here I am. I want to surrender my life to You. Is there anybody here that has not done that before, or maybe you've drifted far away from Him and you've lost your peace? Today God is calling you back. Just respond to Him by raising your hand. Say, God, here I am. I want to come back to You. Is there anyone like that? I'm going to give you an opportunity, because I believe that is why we're here. God has an appointment with your life to give you peace. Just respond to Him if that is you. In the midst of your circumstances, in the midst of your storm, just surrender your life to Him while all the eyes are closed. Is there anybody here? I want to ask the rest of us just to speak with God. Bring your circumstances to Him in prayer and petition, but with thankfulness, with thanksgiving. Make your requests known to Him. Speak to Him about your storm and about your circumstances, not from a place of fear, but a place of faith in Him. Let's just do that. I'm going to give you 30 seconds to a minute. Just to speak to God. Bring it to Him. Bring whatever makes you stress, whatever makes you fear, well, that uncertainty, that lie, what man can do, man can take from you. Just bring it to God. Just where you are right now. Thank You, Father, that we can bring our fears to You. We can bring our circumstances to You. We can lay it at Your feet Oh, we can lay it at the feet of the God who saved us already. And Lord, thank you that we can lay it at your feet this morning, afresh and new. Say, Lord, we choose to put our trust. Oh, some put it in horses and some put it in chariots. But I will put my trust in the name of the Lord. I will bring my circumstances and my fears to you. And I will lay it at your feet, at your wisdom. Oh Lord, I'm going to seek your counsel. Oh, the counsel of men is many. Oh, it seems so wise, but you're so simple. Oh, it's so different, but Lord, I choose with thanksgiving to lay it at your feet because you are faithful. You're the only one who do not change. You're the only one that nothing is impossible for. So Lord, I come to you with my fears and my circumstances, and I choose to lay it at your feet, and not the feet of my own emotions or my own wisdom or that of man, but of yours. Oh Lord, and I thank you. I thank you, God. And Lord, I seek your counsel, your words, your wisdom in the midst of my storm. And Lord, I pray for each and every person here that we will have the faith and the boldness to do as you say and not the world. Even if it doesn't make sense, to put our faith in you. And I thank you, God, as we do so, we will not just have your peace, but we will have you right with us. Oh God, I want to pray peace over every heart here right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you will come and fill each heart with the peace of God. No matter what circumstances they face, that they will know that you are with them. You will not let them go, and you will turn it for their good. And there will be new wine. Oh, there will be new power. There will be new fire. There will be new ground. And their territory will expand, not shrink, because you are with them. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.